please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Tell me, what's the difference between us and them?
Because we live here.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
How's it going, everyone? This is TJ Martinell at tjmartinell.com. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. I'm coming to you, as always, from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. The date is May 16th, 2022, the same date as the last podcast I did. I'm doing this on the same day. And this is the... I'm not even sure what to call this. I'm not saying I'm not in a good mood. I'm just like I've been riled up, for a lack of a better word. Because right now, if the ideal situation was in place, I would be watching Home Improvement. I've been going through the entire show's seasons. I'm now on season 6, I believe, and season 7 is the final one. So I've been going through. The kids are getting older. Heidi still looks hot, which I didn't really realize when I was 7 or 8 years old. I'm like, you know, you all know what I mean. Anyways, the point is I should be watching that right now. And instead I'm doing this podcast for you people, for you little people. Actually, no, I'm doing this podcast because I'm just I got to get this stuff off my mind. You know, I was originally going to... I'm drinking some of my own homemade cider, which is actually not too bad. I really went on the dry side, like that English dry cider, which is pretty good. For those of you who don't know, you put sugar in it. The yeast eats the sugar, makes alcohol. I put in very little sugar, so the alcohol... The yeast ate almost all the sugar, so it's very dry. There's almost probably no sugar left in this thing. I probably should have let it age a little bit more, but you know what? That's the kind of mood I'm in. I'm drinking some of my own cider prematurely to do this podcast. And I could go and expand, whatever. I could sit here and talk for hours on end and like try to do this almost like you're talking to... Almost like you're talking to a woman and she has a question for you. But before she asks the question, she's got to tell you the whole backstory, right? And you're sitting there waiting for her to get to the point of the question that she's supposed to ask. You know, instead of saying, hey, can you help my brother move this thing on Saturday at 12 o'clock? And it'll take about an hour. Instead, they want to spend an hour talking about the events that led up to the request that she's about to ask you. I could do that. I'm not going to do that to you guys. I'm not going to do that to my dear listeners. Instead, I'm going to get right to the point. Okay. And we've been seeing this for years. So this is not something that's just been brand new. This is not something that just popped out of the sky. This is not a recent phenomenon. This has been going on for several years. And some guys have pointed this out. Many of them are anonymous. Many of them have been forgotten. They were on blogs that don't exist anymore. They were out in the middle of the fringe. I'm just going to say it right now. There are millions and millions of young men who don't know what it means to be a man. And on top of that, you have institutions that they would normally get involved in, like marriage or the military, that have been so corrupted that any man with any shred of manhood is repulsed by some of the features and traits that are commonplace in a marriage or in the military or in other, like corporate America. I've got buddies of mine who've written about the feminization of corporate America, right? So these institutions have become corrupted. They don't serve their purpose. Or they have features that are antithetical to being a man. And for those of you who got married 30 years ago, we are not talking about we're not talking about your marriage back when, you know, Ronald Reagan was talking about the Soviet Union. We're talking about, which, you know, one could argue. My point is, these institutions do not offer anything meaningful on the, how do I put this? They are actively hostile to men who want to govern their own lives. Their participation in these institutions primarily benefit someone else. And, I was talking about how I wanted to do this Voight-Kampff test. I've done this podcast before. The Voight-Kampff test kind of tells you what someone actually thinks by asking them questions and getting their response. And so, this is, or maybe just watching people's behavior. Let me ask you a question. Those of you who bought a gun or bought a motorcycle, did anyone ever nag you into buying one? Did anyone, for example, let's talk about my Honda Rebel. She's a thing of beauty. I love her. I'll probably have her for the rest of my life. Never gonna let you go. 1980 song. Look it up. No one nagged me into buying that motorcycle. I walked into the showroom, saw it, and said, I want it, and I bought it, and I took it home. But nobody nagged me into buying a motorcycle. Nobody nagged me into buying Stella's the name of my motorcycle. Nobody nagged me into buying Stella. Nobody tried to pressure me in a really weird way. And nobody tried to make appeals to, like, oh, real men ride motorcycles. This is what a real man does. I remember reading Aaron Clary's book, Bachelor of Pad Economics, and he was talking about how, the benefits for a young man of owning a motorcycle. And one of the things he said was that, other guys can go out there and spend $100,000 on a sports car. You can go spend a couple thousand dollars on a motorcycle and you're just as cool. Well, let's say guns. Like, how many of you men bought a gun because you felt nagged or pressured? Like, not even bought a gun, but like, when did you ever buy a gun, or when were you ever pressured or nagged into buying a gun? Where people were like, I'm not talking about like, dude, you got to get this. Let's be clear. Where people, I've had people say, you got to get this motorcycle, or you got to get this gun. Like, it's cool. It's going to be beneficial for you. It's going to make you like it. Right? As opposed to saying, dude, why don't you want to buy this bike? Why don't you want to buy this gun? Do you not like guns? Do you not like bikes? You got an attitude problem. You're not manning up and buying this gun. Yeah, no man ever got told to man up and ride a motorcycle. No man ever got told to man up and buy a rifle. Right? You don't have to sell guns and motorcycles to men. Those things sell themselves. But what's so fascinating is how people talk about things where how do I put this? Ostensibly, their idea is to get men to listen to them and to do what they say. And I did that podcast on the Man Up and Marry movement. This is partially after I saw some guy saying how, like, real men join the military. And I'm thinking, look, man, first of all, and I know certain toxic parts of the internet use this term, so don't mistake me. Whenever you use shaming language with a man, what you are telling him is, this does not benefit you. I want you to do something that is not in your best interest for the sake of somebody else. And the problem with shaming language with men is, it all depends on, like, why would these people care what you have to say? I mean, I've had men try to shame me for stuff in my life. I'm like, well, I don't even know you. Like, why should I, like, or what? Oh, you're not a real man. You're an anonymous guy on social media, or you're some random guy on YouTube, or you're somebody who has nothing to do with our lives. Like, who cares? They act like they're like your father, or you're like a meaningful male member of your family, where if you don't do what they say, or you don't earn their admiration and respect, this is going to have long-term consequences. No, the moment people just block you or start ignoring you on social media, is the problem goes away. Like, what's the consequences? Yeah, when you're shaming men for not doing something, you're telling them that it's not good for them. And what I find amazing is the lack of self-awareness of these men. I mean, ostensibly, some of these guys are either anonymous or they're whatever. You know, the guys in the comment sections of blogs I've read over the years. I'm talking about stuff that's been going on for years, and I see it, and I'm like, at what point do you guys realize nobody is doing what you are wanting them to do because you're shaming them? You know, it reminds me of like guys in World War II who didn't fight, but they were like 4Fs. They were medically barred from serving, and some of them committed suicide. The reason they did that is not because they were shamed, but because they felt ashamed that they were not able to go be with their friends. Right? You didn't need to shame men in certain times of history, because I'd say there was a level of respect for men who participated. But if you have to shame someone into doing something, you're telling them, this is not good for you, and I have nothing good to say about it. So I'm just going to make you feel bad for not participating. You know, if you want to send a message to men that you think something's good for them, talk about it the way you would talk about a motorcycle and a gun, not the way you talk about the federal income tax. Because what's amazing is so many of these men, real man, I'm a real man. You want to be a real man, you're going to be like me. And then they talk about something as if it's the IRS income tax, federal income tax return. And yet the words they're saying is, I'm selling you a motorcycle, instead I'm selling you the federal income tax. Except the difference is, with the federal income tax, most people have to pay it. You don't have to engage or participate or be involved in these institutions. And this is what's amazing. It's like, these people act like they don't need the consent of the men they're talking to. They act like they don't need the men to actually say yes. And maybe that's not even the intent. Maybe they're just being disingenuous. Maybe they're just trying to make people feel bad. I mean, there could be other reasons involved. There could be, I mean, frankly, one of the reasons is that these people don't want to come to terms with, it goes back to what I was saying about the whole marriage thing. You know, when I was doing that podcast recently about the Bachelor episode, I said, you know, it's easier to shame bachelors for not getting married than to acknowledge that they have no say in the matter. You know, you can't change marriage laws. You can't change society and culture. You can't change other things. So you go pick on people that have no power and no say and no voice, and nobody cares what they think. Yeah. Nobody cares about these people, so we're going to pick on them. Because, which is funny, like, from a man, I'm a real man. Great. You're attacking people who have no power in society and really can't do anything against you. You're talking about the most powerless group, a voiceless group in Western civilization right now. Year 2022, another 15 days to flatten the curve. And you think that that's manly. I think that this is what's amazing about the whole, these guys who are trying to sell real masculinity, and their response to all these young men is not compassion, is not encouragement. It's not acknowledging that these people, that these young men have reasons to be angry, that they have reasons to be disillusioned, that they have reasons to really just come to very dire conclusions. And instead, it's to shame them for not having the right attitude. It's like, okay, you may not be a boomer, but that is the honorary boomer mindset. Just need an attitude adjustment and look me in the eye when you shake me with a firm handshake. Okay, boomer. Okay. Yes, because that will solve every problem in our society right now. It's just a firm handshake, looking you dead in the eye, and speaking in a firm voice. I mean, to me, it's just predatorial. You're taking a bunch of men who've never been given the opportunity to prove their own manhood to themselves. We're not talking about other people. We're talking about themselves. They've never been given an opportunity to do things that shows, that reveals to themselves who they are. So they don't know themselves, and they aren't certain of themselves, and they are insecure about that, and they're vulnerable, and people are trying to exploit that. You know, if you have a group of young men today who are kind of aimless or whatever, and your thought is this is their fault or this is their problem, this is something wrong with them, you're a moron. I wouldn't even say you're a moron. Like, you are maliciously ignorant of what's going on. If your instinctive reaction to what's been, after everything that's been going on in this society, if your instinctive thought and response to a young man today who is discouraged, disillusioned, and feeling hopeless is to chastise him, well, what does that tell us about you? It tells me that you're either ignorant, you have absolutely no clue what you're talking about, or you're complicit. Or you're callous. Either way, you're part of the problem. And this would be my advice to any young men listening to this. If you are struggling or have hardships or you're discouraged and somebody lashes out at you about that, those people are your enemy. You know, it's different if there's a guy who's been trying to help you out and you're still refusing to get out of the self-pity or the discouragement, and he's like, you gotta snap out of this. Like, I get that. That's a different thing. I'm talking about when somebody is talking to men in general. And after everything that's been going on in Western civilization in America today, and their conclusion is that men have an attitude problem, or men are just are not real men today. I don't take them seriously. These people, and you know what? It doesn't matter what their actual intent is, what their agenda is. I don't care, and neither should you. You know, this is like someone who is a bad mechanic. They may not be malicious. They may have the best intentions for fixing your car, but if they're a bad mechanic and they're causing damage to your car rather than repairing it, it doesn't matter. You don't use them as a mechanic and you ignore them. Like, that is a separate question of whether or not they're going to fix the car. If they're not going to fix the car, you don't give the car to them for them to work on. And if some guy doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to being a real man, then it doesn't matter what his intent is. I mean, for me, it's to see guys lash out at other men. I mean, I'm just struggling to understand the callous indifference I mean, it's the kind of callous indifference where that led British officers to just ruthlessly set. There was, I can't remember what the story exactly, but like there was a British CO, whatever his rank was, doesn't matter. He knew that the armistice was going to be signed at 11 o'clock on the, it was November 11th, 1917. It was in the morning. This commander knew that the armistice was going to be signed in a few hours. He still sent his troops out to go in an attack. Okay, that is the same type of guy that is sitting here browbeating young men who have gotten no encouragement in life. Who are constantly telling them, the reason that you don't want to participate in these institutions that have, that are actively trying to destroy your life, that means there's something wrong with you. And here's what's also so amazing about their lack of self-awareness. These young men have been repeatedly told, let's deal with all the autistic Spurgs who might be listening to this. They don't actually say, we don't care about you. They do it through their actions. They do it through other means. The message being conveyed to young men is, we don't care about you. Why should they care if these people, what these people think of them for not doing what they want them to do? Ultimately, these men, these young men are going to do something because they respect and admire the person who's encouraging them to do it, and his opinion of them matters to them. I mean, this goes back to the Voight comp test thing. It's like when a man looks at what's going on in our country today, in our society, in our culture, and he decides to take his wrath out or his ire out or he lashes out at the young men, you're just a coward. Because God forbid they go destroy your life and have you deplatformed and have a mob show up outside your house. Yes, because we all know that's what young men are capable of doing today in terms of weaponizing the state and all these apparatuses of the federal government. And we know that they have control over all the societal institutions and the public education system and all the local governments and the Department of Health. Like everything is, you know, young men can just completely weaponize those against anyone who protests them. I mean, that's what's so amazing about these. You know, you can look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can look like Sylvester Stallone. You can look like all these other muscle-bound 1980s guys, but if you're not capable of criticizing the people actually responsible and you lash out at the people who are most vulnerable and have the least amount of a voice, you're not a man. You know, this is the aspect of masculinity that gets lost. Like I'm a gym rat. I've repeatedly said that I'm big into working out. But you know, that doesn't make me a man. That just makes me a physically strong man. That doesn't make me a masculine man. That's part of it, but that's not what a real, you know, talking about a real man. Okay, let's talk about what a real man does. A real man doesn't shy away from saying things because he's afraid of what might happen to him. A real man doesn't repress something and then express it on the most vulnerable group of people. How much courage does it take to lash out at young men today and tell them that they're not real men because they're not more like you? You know, you may be physically tough. You may be able to beat them in a boxing match. You may be able to beat them in an MMA fighting round. You may be able to shoot better than them. But you're lacking in a very masculine quality, and that's moral courage. And this is what I see in so many areas of like just people who are trying to like deal with the situation with young men today. And I'm listening to them just saying, doing the same stuff they've been doing for 20 years. And a lot of times it's just them justifying to themselves what they're doing. They actually don't care if anybody listens. That's what this episode is going to be called. The Real Man. The Real Man episode. Real men look at what's going on today in society and they blame the people responsible for it. And they have understanding of why a man would be in a position to make very difficult choices. And has compassion. Being callously indifferent to the suffering of men in the year 2022 doesn't make you a man. It makes you a progressive. It makes you woke. It doesn't take an ounce of courage. But it's interesting how these crises, these societal and cultural problems reveal where people truly stand. Where people claim to be, traditionalism, and then suddenly they start spouting out nonsense that you would hear from a progressive, somebody on the far left. You know, it's like the mask comes off. I think that this is another thing that I could do a whole podcast on this. I might. What you see as far as labels, guys, this is why the Voight comp test is very important. Because people call themselves things, but these tests tell you what they actually are. And what you will find is what most people call themselves is not what they are. And if you're of a particular belief, if you hold a certain ideology near and dear and true to your heart, you will find that you are very much alone. And as cynical or pessimistic as that sounds, there are some men out there who need to know that because they're having the world constantly tell them that they're wrong when they come to very, very disturbing conclusions. And, this is for them. If you are deep down believe or suspect that things are very, very, very wrong and nothing as is what it seems, you're correct. And particularly that concerns who claims to be on your side to believe what you believe, who is advocating for your interests. Because when you strip away the label and you apply these tests, you realize in a lot of cases, everybody is ultimately and fundamentally on the same side. They're just haggling about the finer details. How fast does this happen? How soon does this happen? How much does it cost? How many are we going to have at a time go through this or whatever it is. It's just it's you're arguing over stuff, but the fundamental premise isn't challenged. And when you challenge it, you discover those people that are your supposedly your allies are not. So on that happy note, I'm assuming you found this podcast on tjmartinell.com, but if you haven't, you can go to tjmartinell.com. It has the links to all my books, to most of my, not all my podcasts, but more recent ones. So if you like the stuff I talk about, you'll probably enjoy my books. So you can find them, you're smart people. So thank you for listening to this episode of the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. Signing off.